This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and of course the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls right now. We really not going to have time for calls in the first half hour, because we have with us Larry Klayman from Judicial Watch. And Larry, of course, is back in Washington, D.C., a watchdog, and of course, certainly keeping after both the political parties. He's nonpartisan. He's concerned about corruption in both political parties. And one of the things I wanted to begin with was the story of Lieutenant Commander Jack Daly. And he was, well, I'm going to let Larry Klayman tell that story. And of course, the amazing thing is that in this instance, why the United States Defense Attorney General's Office, the Department of Justice, and of course, even the Navy, was on the side of the Russians over one of their own who was wounded in battle or wounded in the line of duty. Larry, why don't you tell the story about Lieutenant Commander Jack Daly?
It is an interesting story, Stan. Here's somebody who is an American counterintelligence officer working for the Navy. On April 3rd of 1997, he's asked to conduct a reconnaissance mission over the Straits of Juan de Fuca in Puget Sound, Washington, because it's believed that a Russian commercial vessel is coming into those straits to spy on the American submarine base, which is located there. And, of course, this is the only remaining leg of the America's triad. We basically have given up land-based intercontinental ballistic missiles and B-52s. So it was very important. He conducts that reconnaissance mission with Canadian Air Force. And when he goes over the Straits of Juan de Fuca to take a picture of what's believed to be a Russian spy vessel, he's hit by a laser beam, and his eyes are severely damaged. So, too, is the pilot of that vehicle, the Canadian pilot, Jack Barnes. They come back to the base. They have blood in their eyes. They're experiencing all kinds of eye pain. They're sent to a medical facility in San Antonio, Texas, which specializes a Navy facility in laser injuries, and in fact is diagnosed to be that. He then informs his supervisors exactly what happened, and they try to conduct an investigation of this Russian spy vessel. But rather than doing it immediately, it takes them almost 3 days to do it. And, of course, the Russians, having been tipped off that there's going to be this kind of a boarding party on the ship, obviously dump the laser into Puget Sound. To make a long story short, because of the politics of the Clinton administration and its desire to further relations, if you want to call it that, with Russia, the matter's covered up. Jack Daly is treated as if he's a pariah, as if he doesn't have a laser injury. He's told to be quiet, never use the word laser, and he basically is hung out to dry. And with the incoming Bush administration, he's treated no differently. No one will do anything on his behalf, and the guy's going blind. And Judicial Watch took up his case. We brought a lawsuit against the Russians, and believe it or not, the U.S. Defense Department sided with the Russians because of these diplomatic relations. And the case recently went to trial with the Navy and the U.S. Justice Department, run by the Bush administration, sitting on the side of the Russians.
Now, this is the this is John Ashcroft's attorney, Attorney General Ashcroft's, a Republican administration siding with the Russians over an injured American serviceman.
Right, and it, you know, it comes as no surprise. The judge, incidentally, also bent over backwards because he was visited that week by a group of Russian judges who played, in my view, to his ego. He made some very bad decisions. He excluded key witnesses, including Senator Robert Smith, who was going to testify how the U.S. military covered this thing up.
Now, wasn't there an admiral who was going to cover every testify as well that they wouldn't let testify?
That's correct. And Admiral Richard Kramer, he wouldn't let him testify either. And the whole thing was a stacked deck. We're very confident. We did not get a verdict in our favor. We're confident on appeal. But, you know, it's quite ironic that as President George W. Bush gets ready to send our men into battle, presumably in Iraq, that our people can't even stand behind a serviceman who was hit by a Russian laser.
I don't
see why. Why do they want to cover this up, Stan? Because the United States is also conducting experiments with lasers to use in a military setting. And it is illegal under an international convention to do that. It is illegal to use them against servicemen. We want to keep the Russians happy. This was an attack on American soil, on an American serviceman, in effect an act of war. And the U.S. military now is putting the interests of our servicemen second to its politics. And what does that say to the people going into Iraq? And what does it say about the people that served in the Persian Gulf War? They covered that up, too, Persian Gulf Syndrome. They covered up Agent Orange in Vietnam. It tells you that you don't really have a friend if you're the rank-and-file military personnel, that you better look to a group like Judicial Watch or a radio show like yours to get some kind of recourse, and that's not enough.
And
we can't treat our people this way.
And I understand you put almost $1 million into this case.
We did. And we're going to be putting a lot more into it. 2 weeks after the verdict, we got a letter from a longshoreman in Canada that said he had worked on that vessel, and he knows as a fact from other people that have worked on it that there was a laser on that ship. So, you know, we're going to win this case in the long run, but the story here is very unfortunate to see both the Clinton and Bush administrations leave a serviceman hang out to dry in pain.
All right, we're going to...
destroyed for their own political purposes.
We're going to have to take a 3-minute break, and we'll be right back with Larry Klayman talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and the information you're not getting from the mainline-controlled media. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just tell you a little bit about a product which I hope that many of you will want to try using.
Health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure Allicin garlic extract? You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Okay, this is Dr. Stan. And if you haven't made any preparations, just in case what the government is telling you in this case is true, because they don't say it's not a matter of if we're going to have terrorist attacks, but when they're going to come, you really should have some preparations made. And if you'd like a list of the things that you should have on hand, as well as a catalog on foods that's been preserved, ready-made food is actually a producer of dehydrated foodstuffs, puts them in cans, they last 12, 14 years. And, of course, a lot of the other distributors get them from them. Give them a call at 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-453-2202. And call now. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Well, Larry, are you, of course, looking into some of these draconian laws that the Bush administration has put through the Office of Homeland Security, the USA Patriot Act, certainly the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, and several things they've tried to get through, like the TIPS program, informants on every block, which apparently now is not going to go through. But have you been analyzing any of these almost draconian measures that they're putting in to control the American people in the name of fighting terrorism?
Well, yeah, we're very concerned, and it's obviously more than concern. It's ironic that Attorney General Ashcroft was opposed to these measures when the Clinton administration wanted to put them through. And God forbid Clinton ever had these powers, you and I would be long gone at this point, probably. Because what they allow is you can bust into people's homes, you can search and seize whatever you want. The Justice Department signs its own warrants. They're self-executing. The judge has no say. He just stamps. And it can only be challenged after the fact. And any information which is found in the searched premises can be distributed to any government agency anywhere in the world, including foreign agencies. This obviously violates civil and constitutional rights, which is the same thing. And it's extremely dangerous in the hands of the wrong people. It literally can be a 1984 situation, Stan. Now, the irony here is that I am not against strong measures to fight terrorists. And the Bush administration just announced what I thought was a very weak measure just in the last few days, that they're going to require universities to report on foreign students only voluntarily. I think we need to start cracking down. I think anybody in this country who is here on a visa or is not a permanent resident or is not a citizen, it is a time of war, and we need to exercise the war powers. But you do not enact laws that can be used against citizens and permanent residents as if somehow they're an enemy combatant.
Well, of course, but it seems to me that they are certainly doing everything they can to bend over backward and not to bother the people who are here, the foreign students, many of them may be here illegally from terrorist countries. They seem to be putting their whole emphasis not on the potential terrorists or the frank terrorists, but on the law-abiding citizens.
Well, that's exactly the point I'm making. You put it much more succinctly, is that here you've got a threat. Anybody from a country that's on a terrorist watch list should be deported forthwith. We're in time of war. This is not a joke, and they don't have any constitutional rights. But the people that have the constitutional rights, they're the ones that are subject to these draconian laws. And you've got American citizens in custody now that can't even have a lawyer. They're not allowed to talk to anybody.
Well, of course.
So this is a serious situation.
Well, the other thing is, of course, that many people say, well, but of course we feel that George Bush is a good man, he's a Christian, and so we're not concerned that he has the power. But what happens if in 4 or 8 years he's voted out of office and we get Hillary Clinton in as our president? Why would George Bush want to give her those draconian powers, how would he have felt if Bill Clinton had those draconian powers?
Well, exactly. It'll be like the French Revolution, you know, and we'll be carted off to the guillotine.
Right. Well,
anybody that's critical of Miss Hillary, that's where they're going to go.
Well,
they tried that to the extent that they could get away with it in the last 8 years.
And the fact there were an awful lot of people who died very mysteriously under the Clinton administration. I'm just amazed that the Bush administration hasn't looked into any of those strange deaths.
Well, you gave me a softball pitch there. The reason that the Bush administration hasn't looked into it is because the Democrats have a file 10 feet deep on the Bush family. They have peddled influence now for 10 years. It may be minor compared to what the Clintons did, but they don't even want to be embarrassed. And it has become mutual assured destruction in Washington that Democrats and Republicans have agreed with each other that they will not move against each other on issues involving public corruption. And that's why you need a judicial watch, and that's why you need a Stan Monteith, and that's why you need the American citizen as citizen patriot soldiers to rise up legally, not through revolution, but through using the courts to pry the information out of government and to change these laws.
Well, now there's
we are at risk of losing our liberty.
I agree with you totally. Isn't there a gentleman who's coming back from South America who gave something like $2 million to the? Was that to Hillary? Was that to Bill?
Both. His name is Peter Paul. He is a former Miami lawyer, 3-time convicted felon, and he somehow found his way into the inner circles of the rich, powerful, and the elite, both Democrat and Republican. And his latest conquest was Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. And because he had a company that actually was with the creator of Spider-Man, Stan Lee, and which taught English on the Internet, called Mondo English, he wanted to have Bill Clinton sit on his board of directors when he left office as president. And to do that, he donated $2 million to a Hollywood tribute to Bill Clinton, which was actually a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton. It netted her at least $1.5 million. And Hillary Clinton never reported the campaign contributions. In addition, the Democratic Party, led by now Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, tried to sell Peter a pardon. You know, he'd been convicted 3 times. And in addition to that, Bill Clinton was offered $17 million in stock options. As has been the case, Bill and Hillary Clinton weren't investigated. They weren't indicted. Peter Paul was. And who was he indicted by? He was indicted by a then-acting U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York, named Alan Weingrad, who was appointed in an interim basis by George Bush, but needed Hillary Clinton's stamp of approval to become the permanent U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York. And Judicial Watch has been instrumental in trying to pressure the Bush Justice Department into investigating Hillary Clinton, to try to get Peter Paul to cooperate. He's now in Brazil. He's facing extradition. He will be extradited in the next 1 to 2 months. He's going to come back. He's going to talk. The American people will know exactly who the Clintons are, not just conservatives, libertarians, and others, but even the liberals, because Peter has the checks that he wrote. He's got the hard evidence. We have them. And this is something which the Bush administration is going to have to deal with, whether it likes it or not. And it really doesn't want to deal with it because, of course, there is this truce between the two political parties. Don't do anything to me, and I won't do it to you. We can just score political points on Hannity and Combs, but let's not get serious. But we are serious about it, and we're going to use it as a sword to bring the Clintons finally to justice.
Well, I certainly hope that you can, because, I mean, here are people that, they stoop so low as to steal a lot of things from the White House, and then when they were caught, they say, gee, we didn't know that it was illegal to take all of these things, and did they ever give all those things back? Do we have any idea?
Well, we don't know, because they claim they've given some of it back, but they didn't give all of it back.
I mean, isn't that illegal to steal things from the White House, or to take all these gifts and not report them?
They're common criminals, Hillary is now, Hillary Clinton, now the leading candidate for president in the year 2004. These people have been rewarded for their misdeeds, and we have no interest in elections, but we do want to make sure that if she runs for political office, she does it from a prison cell, which is where she belongs.
Well, of course, you know, the amazing thing is that when Bill Clinton was about to leave office, he was given, I think, $10 million for a book. He still has, to my knowledge, not yet written. I think, what did Hillary get? Pretty close to $8 million, almost as much as the Pope got for her book. That isn't
right.
Isn't written. Isn't there some question here that maybe there's a little favoritism? After all, the Pope has over a billion followers. People want to read his memoirs, and he only got an $8 million advance, and Hillary got the same thing? Is anybody out there listening or thinking about this? I know you are, but where are the American people? Where is the outrage for the payoffs?
Well, the American people, unfortunately, they're good people. But they're not the best educated people in the world, and that's why we do radio shows like yours. We have our own. We have TV shows. You know, they still don't have a clue. And they don't have a clue, Stan. You alluded to something earlier about the state of our readiness for terrorist attacks. There's been some articles in the Washington Post, New York Times recently. But the Bush administration has advanced the ball very little in the last year and a half. And the Democrats have a real issue now. Because the next terrorist attack, and they're setting the Bush administration up, coupled with the ever-sinking economy, George W. Bush is going to be on the ropes. It's going to be like his dad, going from 90% to, you know, to 25% or whatever he was at one point.
And, of course, the frightening thing is, if we have a choice between between a Hillary Clinton, whose husband really had a booming economy, and George Bush, and this economy collapses, who are the American people going to vote for? Are they going to vote on principle, or are they going to vote for their pocketbooks? And I fear that they would elect Hillary Clinton with a promise that she would make the good times roll again. Well, they probably would have rolled right along with an awful lot of heads in this country, like they did in the French guillotine.
Well, you know, I can't take a position on elections because we're a nonprofit.
Right.
But the point I'm taking here is that the American people need to wake up, and there's a lot of things that need attention. The Clintons are the most criminal couple ever to exist. They're still in control of the Democratic Party. She is the odds-on favorite to become president. And on the other side of the coin, we have an administration that has a tremendous PR machine that is basically undermining our constitutional civil rights at the expense of our citizens and doing very little to protect us from terrorists. The fact that Osama bin Laden is not attacked in the last year and a half is simply because he's choosing his own time and place.
And the fact we haven't really ever tried to get him, there were time and time and time again where they have the opportunities. I know people who've gone to the administration say we know exactly where he is, and they don't seem to be very interested.
Well, there's been a lot of articles written recently about how the hands of our people in Afghanistan were tied. They had to clear it with General Tommy Franks, who didn't want to, you know, perhaps risk his own neck. He conducted the war from Tampa, Florida. How you do that, I don't know. You know, from the central command there. And we relied on Afghan mercenaries to do our job, again, for political reasons, because they were worried about casualties. This is not the way to fight a war. Saudi Arabia is off limits. Ariel Sharon, Prime Minister of Israel, now says Iraq has hit its weapons of mass destruction in Syria. Syria's been off limits. You know, Colin Powell took hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Syrian government when he was a private citizen for speaking fees. Is that why Syria off limits? People need to wake up.
I think they really do.
This war is being fought in a very political way with a tremendous amount of PR, which frankly is not serving the American people very well.
Well, we're just about out of time. I know you're going to have to run. How can people get in touch with Judicial Watch?
Sam, I appreciate that. We do need the help. We're nonpartisan. We are conservative. Proud of that. Call us at 1-888-JW-ETHIC, 1-888-JW-ETHIC, ETHIC, or check out our website at judicialwatch, one word, .org, and sign up for our free intranet. And we also have a book, Fatal Neglect, that talks about what we haven't done to protect ourselves from terrorists, and you can order that off the website. It's like provisions that you're selling that could save your life.
And at first, I had the opportunity. I've got to read it. I just got it in the mail, and I'll give you a call. We'll get you back. That's 888-JW-ETHIC.
888-JW-ETHIC, ETHIC, and you'll get a free email internet if you sign up with us. We'll be happy to send it to you. We send something out every day.
All right. God bless you. Thanks so very much.
God bless you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Larry Klayman from Judicial Watch, and I get his material on a daily basis off the Internet, and it is excellent. I recommend it to you. And if you'd like a daily email, of course, you'll be right on the front lines of what's happening today. And Larry serves a very, very useful purpose, getting the information out you're not going to get elsewhere. Let me point out that nobody really wants to talk about the spiritual battle. Nobody ever really wants to talk about why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. They'll tell you they did it, and isn't it terrible? And gee, if we just had a Republican president, everything would be fine, and then, of course, we wouldn't have any more of these problems. And yet, of course, seven of the present Supreme Court justices were appointed by Republican presidents. We don't talk about that. To understand how this really fits together, you need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special for $29.95, which includes a video, an audio tape, and the book, or just order the book by itself. But call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Brotherhood of Darkness or the Brotherhood of Darkness special. If you want to get any five of our videos, we have a video special for $69.95, but call right now. Our 14th set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course Larry Klaibin could only be with us for half an hour, and so we're going to have open lines this hour. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, you know, if they could cover up the murder of an American president, what else could they cover up in this country? If you haven't read the book Regicide, let me recommend it to you. It actually carries and it contains the information that was given by the Assistant Deputy Director of Covert Operations of the CIA on to a Mr. Gregory Douglas, who we've had as a guest on many occasions. And Mr. Douglas, of course, tells you exactly what was in the Crowley papers. And many of those papers were actually reproduced, including a list of 4,000 CIA assets or people that Mr. Crowley felt that he could call upon here in the United States. One of them happened to be a physician from my hometown. In fact, he'd been my next-door neighbor at one time. So, you know, I put a lot of credence in that book. And, of course, they even have his up-to-date telephone number there and address, or his up-to-date address. But, of course, this tells how the CIA decided they would have to kill Kennedy, why they decided to kill Kennedy, who they hired to kill Kennedy. And, of course, it was coordinated with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And I'm sure that many people knew about it. Mr. Lyndon Johnson knew about it, and many of the oil people knew about it. But certainly J. Edgar Hoover hated the Kennedys, and he knew about it. And, you know, of course, we have our heroes. We certain things we believe. And, of course, we've been brought up to believe it. And I remember reading those wonderful books written by J. Edgar Hoover and, of course, believing he was a true American. But, of course, he was a high Mason. He filled his organization with Masons and people of the Mormon faith because he felt they could trust them. He himself was a homosexual. He was a very close friend of Roy Cohn's. Who is a close friend of Joe McCarthy, who is also a homosexual, and the homosexuality that pervaded every aspect of our society. If you've never read the book about Roy Cohn, he even wrote a biography, there's no question, you know, he was homosexual. He died of AIDS. We have other books on Hoover. He was, of course, the reason he never went after the mafia, and he never went after the mafia until just the time when the Kennedys came in. And the reason he didn't go after the mafia was they had all the information about his homosexuality, and to cover that up, he gave them a get out of jail free card and said, "There is no mafia. We will not prosecute it. Oh, the FBI is going to do all sorts of wonderful things," but he'd never go after the mafia. Well, then the Casa Nostra, which was the Association of Families of the Mafia leaders, why they got together, and all this information was brought out, and Bobby Kennedy had that information, and he literally forced J. Edgar Hoover to go after the mafia, and Hoover never, of course, forgave them for that, for embarrassing him and bringing out the mafia connections. Now, if you don't think that the FBI has worked with the mafia under the Hoover administration, you need to get the book Dark Alliance, A Dangerous Alliance. It's written actually by a reporter from the Boston Globe, and it goes into what was going on in Boston there with Whitey Bulger. And Whitey Bulger was a criminal and a known murderer who killed 20 people while under FBI protection. And when the local authorities would try to do something about this murderer who was torturing many of the people to death, why local FBI officials covered for him consistently so that he could not be elected. Dangerous Alliance is available from Radio Liberty. I think it's only $7 or $8. A fascinating story tells about how the FBI sent people they knew were innocent to prison to cover for other murderers that they were using as informants. Now, how can you do this in a civilized society? You can't. But FBI agents went right along with it. And I'm not saying that everybody in the FBI isn't a good person. There are a lot of good people in the FBI, a lot of idealistic people, but they're not at the upper echelons where they're covering up for the murder of the people at Waco, up for the murder of Vicki Weaver and others. And then, of course, the paying off Randy Weaver and his family over $3 million so that the case would never have to go to trial, and they would never have to admit that they had falsified the case against Randy Weaver and then killed his son and his daughter. A $3 million payoff, not of their money, but of our money to cover the crimes of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have a four-tape set on the FBI. And then, of course, we have a intelligence special, which includes a number of tape sets on the Kennedy assassination and on Waco. And then other material, actually there are two books. One of them is called The Dangerous Alliance, the story of the FBI working with the mafia. And the other is a book called Double Cross. It was written by the brother of the head of the mafia. His name was Chuck Giancano, and of course Sam Giancano was the head of the mafia, and he goes in there into the lurid details of the death of Marilyn Monroe and how the mafia was of course hired by the CIA to hire assassins to kill world leaders, Trujillo certainly in the Dominican Republic, a gentleman who was the president of Nigeria, Patrice Lumumba, I believe was his name, Mr. Diem and Mr. Nu in South Vietnam. All of these were killed by mafia hit squads or people that the mafia would pay. And, of course, the Sam Giancano did not arrange for Kennedy's murder. He actually had the CIA contact the Sicilian mafia, who contacted the mafia in Marseille. And they were the ones who carried out the assassination. And that's covered in the book, of course, Regicide by Mr. Gregory Douglas. All of these books are available. You can buy them by themselves. Regicide is available from Radio Liberty. Double Cross is available from Radio Liberty. Dangerous Alliance is available from Radio Liberty. Of course, Double Cross and Dangerous Alliance come with the intelligence special. And it's so vitally important that you get this information, you understand what is going on in America today, and you're not going to find these books. These books are not going to be written up on the front page of the New York Times. Why? Because they don't want you to know about it. And I'm really surprised a lot of these books haven't been shredded, as were so many other books. For instance, the book by Monica Jensen Stevenson, who's been a frequent guest here, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. The first book was called back by the publisher, and they didn't get the full component of them out. It was republished up in Canada by a publishing house there, which immediately got into financial difficulties. And with the new publisher, people who bought them out, just accidentally shredded 10,000 copies of Kiss the Boys Goodbye. And you really need to get a four-tape set on The Men We Left Behind. And, of course, the four-tape set on One Man Came Back. Because there is Monica Jensen Stevenson giving the story in The Men We Left Behind of the book that kissed the boys goodbye, the one that was called back. And then they actually shredded 10,000 copies of it in Canada. And the man who did it, he was just so apologetic. And Monica believes he just didn't know what he was doing. How could you accidentally shred 10,000 copies of a book that was in demand all around the world? And sometimes it's very difficult, I think, even for people who are involved in this whole thing to realize a degree of the evil that we're up against, or how well organized the people on the other side are, and how effectively they can control books. If you haven't read the book we have, it's actually 18 essays written by people who try to get the truth out, Pulitzer Prize-winning novelists, or writers, certainly Emmy Award-winning television producers. The book Into the Buzzsaw by Kristen Borgensen, the terrible thing she did was actually to try to tell the truth of the downing of TW 800. And, of course, she was forced out of CBS, and then ABC employed her for a time, but of course pressure was put on ABC not to carry the true story of what happened to TW 800, because we can't let the American people know the truth. And so it was, of course, that she lost her job, but she recruited 17 other people who had similar experiences to actually write their essays, and we have them, of course, in the book Into the Buzzsaw. So that book is available from Radio Liberty, and these are all, you know, published by small publishing houses, and of course, so vitally important that we make them available to you through Radio Liberty. That's why we do what we do, is to try to get the truth out across America. And you're not going to get this from ABC, you're not going to get it from CBS, and you're not going to get it from NBC. And because, of course, they're all controlled by people who are related to the Council on Foreign Relations, which is America's invisible government. And that's where Condoleezza Rice comes from, and that's where Dick Cheney comes from, and that's where Colin Powell comes from, and all the hierarchy of the current administration. It's interesting that a new director of the SEC is not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He happens to be a member of the Skull and Bone Society that the Bush family came from. And so a Bush who says, oh, you know, there's just nothing to this, why would he pick a fellow bonesman to be the new director of the SEC? Do you really think he's going to be honest in what he does any more than the effort to get to the bottom of what happened last September when the president insists that his man headed the commission, and that you can't have anybody come to testify unless you have at least five people, who agree, or maybe it's six people out of the 10 who agree on who's going to be there. Why do they want to restrict who comes to testify? You would think they want to get to the truth. Or do they want to reveal the truth? Or do they want to conceal the truth? And I would like to suggest they must conceal the truth of what happened on September 11th last year, because if things were not as they appear to be, if Osama bin Laden is the bin Laden family, the bin Laden family are very close to George Herbert Walker Bush. If it's true that, of course, they have been invested in Carlyle Corporation, were for many years, and George Herbert Walker Bush always stayed at the home of the families of the bin Laden families when he was in Saudi Arabia. If this is really true, could it be that maybe nothing we know is accurate? Is it true that the Saudi princes and many of the people in the Saudi government have still financing the Al-Qaeda movement? We have an article just last week. The paper, they said, well, they're really going to have to put pressure on the Saudis to get them to stop financing the Al-Qaeda terrorists. Now, remember, terrorists have to have a base. They have to have a source of funding. You have to have somebody who's giving in the money if you're out planning terrorist attacks and buying all the things and the explosives and all. You have to have access to a lot of money to do that. Where's the money coming from? It's coming from Saudi Arabia. And who's protecting Saudi Arabia? Why, the Bush administration is protecting Saudi Arabia. And so things are never as they appear to be, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why they don't dare let the truth come out about what happened last year on September 11th. If you want a copy of Kristen Breitweiser's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee on the 18th of September, testimony that was thoroughly suppressed, and you haven't seen my October newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for a copy of the October newsletter. You won't be sorry that you read it, because I will tell you, it's one of the most devastating things I've ever heard. A very courageous lady whose husband died in the South Tower, and she's trying to get the truth out over the objection of everybody who controls the mass media in America today. That's the October newsletter. We'll send you one free of charge. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war today, but the enemy, of course, is not necessarily outside our nation. And so at this point, let me just remind you, Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And, of course, we spend 5 hours every day on radio and certainly on Internet, and 3 hours a day on satellite and 2 hours a day on the shortwave, trying to reach people and getting them thinking. And we are reaching more and more people. There's a growing awareness across America, as we can see by the fact that almost 50% of the people don't want to have the smallpox vaccine. They think there's something wrong with what we're being told. And there's an increasing number of people who know there's something seriously wrong about this war we're going into with Iraq. And if we haven't even finished the war with Afghanistan, we haven't even been able to find Osama bin Laden, the wicked Osama bin Laden. And I will tell you, as I mentioned during the last hour or earlier in this program, we know a number of people who've been to the administration telling them exactly where Osama bin Laden is. And surprise, surprise, they really don't want to know, and they really don't want to catch him. And they really don't want to, maybe they don't want to pay the $25 million reward. Maybe that's the reason they don't want to catch him. They just don't have $25 million laying around. Or maybe nothing is as it appears to be today. Everything is perception, having very little to do with reality. Well, certainly we hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do best, and that's to reach out over the radio waves and go to our website at www.radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com, and listen to our internet right there. A book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-245-4237. That's 1-800-888-24-LIBERTY. And then, of course, if you're here on the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And we've sort of been talking about many, many things. And we started out talking about the assassination of President Kennedy here. And, of course, the fact that the truth has been covered up. And, of course, here now we have a book that contains the information that comes, that's a smoking gun. It's the information that comes from the Deputy Director of Covert Operations for the CIA saying, we planned it. Have you heard about that in the New York Times or the Washington Post? Or why don't they interview Mr. Douglas? Or why don't they sort of bring the facts out and find out if it's true? And they don't, of course, because they don't want you to know. Of course, Mr. Douglas has already has researched the information on Heinrich Mueller, the head of the Gestapo, who was brought to America and given a nice, comfortable job after the end of the Second World War. And he died in Piedmont, in California, here in about 1985, after having worked for our intelligence agencies for a number of years. Why was this head of the Gestapo, the wicked German Gestapo, never punished for his crimes and the crimes of the Gestapo, and rounding up people and sending them to concentration camps? Oh, we take some 80-year-old guard who was forced to work in the concentration camps, and we make a big issue, and we send him back, and the American people say, boy, we are really against those wicked Nazis. But why was it that so many of the Nazis were allowed to come to America in Operation Paperclip? And if you haven't read Craig Roberts' excellent book, Medusa File, that goes into Operation Paperclip, you need to get it. And the book is actually out there, Operation Paperclip, that has all the details. But Craig does a wonderful job of summarizing that and the fact, of course, that we helped so many of the Nazis to escape to South America. And you've heard of the Odessa File and all of these Nazis who lived out their life in South America. But why didn't we ever track them down if we were really against these wicked Nazis? Why? Because the Nazi movement was funded from the United States. And when you understand that, if you haven't seen the letter we found from Ambassador Dodd to Colonel House in 1936 asking why American corporations are funding the Nazi war movement, if you haven't read the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, if you haven't read, of course, Rule by Secrecy by Ted Mars, Jim Mars, that covers that, or Hope of the Wicked by or my friend Ted Flynn, that goes into the background of America's funding the Nazis, not only before the war, but during the war. You need to get that, or Alexander Robbins' book that talks about how the bank that Prescott Bush, the grandfather of our president, worked for, that was actually dealing with the Nazis during the Second World War. These are not the sort of things you want to think about, because after all, that was the last war we won, or did we win the war? After all, the Nazis came to America after the war and lived comfortably, just as after the fall of Russia, the dictator of Russia, Gorbachev, came to America and he has an enclave there at the Presidio. Do you think you and I could rent space at the Presidio? But Gorbachev can rent space there. Why? What's this really all about? Well, Gorbachev is deeply involved in the occult, and at least according to James H. Billington, who was the present Librarian of Congress, and we have pages from his book where he tells about how when Gorbachev went to England and was inducted by Margaret Thatcher into the Masonic lodges. And then, of course, after that, of course, Russia went right down the tubes. And, you know, and the communists over there have never forgiven him for, you know, destroying a communism. But, of course, the only reason communism existed was because it was funded from the West. And if you haven't read Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, you need to get it, and you need to read it, or better still, get my book, A Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, shame on you. But we simply quote from Bruce Lockhart, who was in his book, British Agent, which we have a copy of, and he was sent to Russia after the Russian Revolution in 1917, the Second Revolution. I guess he was there in 1918. He's representing Lord Milner, and of course he doesn't know about the secret society that Lord Milner represented, but, you know, certainly Lenin knew about the secret society, and Lockhart comments about how whenever Lenin was going to make an important decision, he would always consult him, Bruce Lockhart, and, of course, the American who represented the Federal Reserve System, the members of the Federal Reserve, back in Russia. Remember, the Federal Reserve was formed in 1913, and certainly by 1918, the Federal Reserve, America's central bank, the one which Alan Greenspan comes in from today, that is leading us into disaster. But in 1918, the representatives of the Federal Reserve were there in Leningrad or in Moscow, or I guess they called it St. Petersburg at the time. But they were there, of course, right along with the representatives from Lord Milner, who represented British banking. And who was Lenin going to make his decisions? He was going to Bruce Lockhart and the American who were there. And when one of the Russian officials antagonized the American, the American called Lenin and demanded that he have that man sent into exile. And you have to read we've reproduced so much of this in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will help you to put everything into its proper perspective so you can understand that behind all of this political wrangling and all of this play-acting that's going on today, the opposition of the Democrats and the Republicans, behind this is a spiritual battle, and the spiritual forces that control both of our political parties and are moving America rapidly towards judgment. And I fear that's really what's coming on today. I mean, certainly society is a reflection of the church. And if society is a reflection of the church, what do we see in society today? And what does that tell us about the church? And it's simply, we've changed the teaching and the message of Christianity. And as a result, society is being destroyed. Because if the Christians ministers will not speak out what's going on, when was the last time any Christian minister that you know of explained why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools? Why did they take it out? Because the Masons, a secret society, controlled the Supreme Court from 1971 to 1941 to 1971 for 30 years. And during that time, they took God and prayer out of our schools, and they it was that same Supreme Court that found that women had a right to abortion, and you know, it was many of these holdovers there that took the Ten Commandments out of our schools. Of course, that decision was made in 1980 or 1981, but many of the Masons were still there. You have to understand, Masonry has its root in the mystery religions of antiquity, and these men were placed onto our Supreme Court by two Masonic presidents, Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Harry S. Truman, both high Masons. One was 32nd degree, the other was 33rd degree. And, of course, they packed the Supreme Court with people who would go along with this agenda of destroying the Christian foundation of America and replacing it with a secular society, a godless society. Well, you see what that did 50 years later. I mean, where are we? Where were we in 1960? Where are we today? Well, 40 years later. Certainly since 1962, it's been just a little over 40 years since the Supreme Court decision that took God out of our schools, and look what's happened to our society. You may be interested to know, as I mentioned during the last hour, that here in, pardon me, first of all, in Kentucky, because of the financial constraints, they're having to release prisoners from jails. Well, they're trying not to release too many of the violent criminals, just the repeat criminals and the criminals there, because they don't have any money to pay the expenses of the prison guards and, of course, the expense of keeping people in prisons. And the plan is already being laid out here in California to do the same thing. You think that this is not going to impact on you? It's going to impact on every single American. What happens when you turn a country against God? When a nation turns its back on God, God turns its back on that nation. You've heard me say it before, and yet it is really so true. And why aren't our ministers telling us this? Why aren't they really demanding that the people get involved and understand that both political parties are involved in the same charade? Why are they demanding that parents, telling parents to get their kids out of the government schools so they won't be turned against God and they won't have to wait till they're 30 or 40 years of age to begin to find out that what it says in the Bible is really true? And that we didn't come from the slime. We didn't come as a matter of chance. That every human being is made in the image and likeness of God, and that our government is authorizing killing millions and millions of human beings, not only in this country where we've killed 40 or more human beings, but we're financing the murder of human beings all throughout the world. Do you think God is going to honor this country? Are you concerned about what happens when God brings his wrath against a nation? And it doesn't have to be the wrath of the tribulation. People quibble over that. We're not going to have any wrath here until the tribulation gets. Where does it say that any place that America will be freed from terrible, terrible suffering? Certainly, God has brought terrible suffering onto every nation that's ever turned against him. And all you need to do is read the Old Testament and see what happened to Israel time and time and time again. When the children of Israel, God's children, chosen people, turned their back on him. What's happening in America today? What are the American people doing? What is the church doing? Well, I think that these are going to be very, very difficult times that lie ahead. And so our plea to you is, first of all, if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, you need to have one. And if you have a personal relationship with him, you better evaluate it and maybe a lot of the things you've been taught, because, of course, now we're told, oh, you've got nothing to worry about. God would never punish anybody who ever walked up the aisle and said they were a Christian. Well, we got an awful lot of Christians who are sinning, or a lot of people who think they're sinning. And remember what it says? It tells the story about when the people get to heaven and God looks at them and says, I never knew you. And they said, but we've been casting out demons in your name. We've been doing all these wonderful things, you know, why we're Christians. And I think the most frightening words you could ever hear would be, I never knew you. Be sure, be absolutely certain in your heart. That, of course, you're true to our Lord, because that may be the only thing that will get you through the difficult times that lie ahead, and difficult times do lie ahead. And so we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for our ministers, for their provision and for their protection. And we ask you to remember our ministry, Radio Liberty. Pray for our family and for those who work with us here, and, of course, for Radio Liberty. And we'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, may the Lord be with you.
thank you so much, Darrell.
Thanks for the gift, the quotation.
Okay. You like that?
Yeah, that'll be great for my report.
It's really a good book. And you'll be way ahead of everybody else. You know everything in that book. Okay. And we'll start quizzing you next week.
You got these set up tomorrow, those things set up to,
Yeah, there's still some more.
Okay, okay, sounds great. We're going to have some orders for your files, too. We'll find something for you.
Fine, yeah. Okay, and Jerry's calling me about the interview on Sunday evening, so
Sunday.
Don't let me forget.
I'll try.